We heard this week on NPR about the thousands of private security workers who will replace American forces when the U.S. pulls out of Iraq. Tom Bowman reported that helicopters carrying machine gunners from DynCorp, a Virginia-based security company, will take over for the U.S. Army Helicopter Brigade, now based in Baghdad. On the ground, American soldiers and Marines will be replaced by the assault weapon-carrying employees of other companies. And the United Arab Emirates is also hiring private American contractors to augment its military. And apparently they've brought in Eric Prince, founder of the firm once called Blackwater, to do it. Blackwater earned billions of dollars and a bad reputation in Iraq. Now Eric Prince has reportedly signed a $529 million contract with the Emirati government to run this new company, complete with a military base with mess halls and mercenaries imported from Latin America. Is it legal for an American to train a foreign army on foreign soil? Mark Mazzetti of the New York Times broke the story with Emily Hager and asked that question. He joins us now. Mark, welcome back to Here and Now.
Hi, Robin. Thanks very much.
And before we get to that question, let's just review. Eric Prince, the 41-year-old former Navy SEAL from the family behind the Conservative Family Research Council. You remind us his goal with Blackwater was always to build an army for hire that could be deployed.
Right. Blackwater started as basically a training company. They had this giant compound down in the swamps of North Carolina, and they hired the compound out for police forces, foreign governments to use and to train. Post 9/11, the business model changed in the sense that they saw government contracting as a way to earn lucrative contracts with the State Department, with the CIA, with the Pentagon. So you started seeing Blackwater guards in Iraq, Afghanistan, and elsewhere. And they also got into the business of training for troops from foreign governments in places like Jordan and other places in the Middle East. So there's a lot of different branches to the Blackwater empire. And as we know, the company kind of came under assault by Congress and by the courts for various activities over the last 10 years.
Well, including when four Blackwater guards were accused of killing 17 civilians in Baghdad in 2007. And so we know Eric Prince renamed the company but also sold it. And now it sounds like he's doing exactly what he set out to do. So we have questions, but tell us first, what is this new company?
Well, the company is called Reflex Responses, or R2 in the shorthand, and it is a company that is based in a gleaming office tower in downtown Abu Dhabi. And but what goes on in the office tower really is just some of the corporate work. The real work is going on in a desert military base in the Emirates, where hundreds of mercenary troops are being trained by Americans, by Europeans, by South Africans, to do all manner of things for the Emirati government. We said that this is a there's one battalion of foreign troops planned. However, if R2 does what it is contracted to do and is successful with this battalion, the Emiratis have pledged they will hire R2 for additional battalions to set up another training ground similar to the North Carolina one. So there's a lot of money in it for R2.
Well, let's just get at the legal thing quickly, because you mentioned how Blackwater, trained forces in places like Jordan. Well, they were fined $40 million last year for doing that. Is it legal for Americans to train foreign troops on foreign soil?
Well, this is where you're in murky territory. What happened, as you said, that Blackwater was fined tens of millions of dollars for training that was done on foreign soil with foreign troops without getting a license. What the State Department and the Defense Department do is try to regulate what they call the export of defense services, which is not only American arms being used overseas, but actually American know-how and American defense knowledge that you get in the military. They don't want that just spread to foreign governments or to anyone else, because you never know whose hands it ends up in. So they try to regulate it by people petitioning for licenses. Blackwater hadn't done that, and they got fined. In this case, there's a little bit of a twist. R2 is a 51% Emirati-owned owned company. So therefore, some lawyers might say, well, the company itself can't get sanctioned by the State Department because it is majority-owned Emirati. However, the people who are carrying out the training, if there are Americans involved, and as we reported, there are several American Army and Navy veterans involved in the training who are passing along this knowledge, you know, they're in some legal jeopardy if, in fact, they have not petitioned for licenses. And it's our understanding that they had not.
Well, you know, and of course, as you said, murky area. This is one I'm sure you're going to explore in your follow-up reporting. You spoke to the Emirati government. They said that they were abiding by all international laws. But, you know, again, that's very murky. We don't know what that means. And it just, you know, the imagination runs wild. This could mean that Eric Prince is training a foreign army in the United Arab Emirates, right now a close ally of the U.S., but he may be training a foreign army that might someday fight the U.S.
Well, it's unclear what they would do. I mean, as we said in the story, right now the Emirati's government is very closely aligned with the U.S. in many ways. They're an ally. They both countries have a fear of Iranian aggression, and one of the things, as we report in the story, that the Emiratis are concerned about is Iran, and that their military is not strong enough to defend against any Iranian attack or Al-Qaeda attack or whatever. So yes, there is some alignment with the U.S. government, and I believe there even is some tacit support inside
right.
the U.S. government
operation. You raise the provocative question. Is the U.S. kind of looking the other way, sending Eric Prince to UAE to help them build an army to perhaps fight Iran? That's Mark Mazzetti, the New York Times, who broke this story and can answer a lot more questions for us. Mark, what does this force look like right now? You paint pictures of, for instance, people working for this new company with Eric Prince, sitting around with suitcases filled with money, paying their bills. You know, an army base with mess halls. Tell us more. What does it look like?
Well, as you said, as we put in our story, it started out really, you know, from the lobby of a hotel room in Abu Dhabi, where a sort of core group of R2 executives were paying bills from these large suitcases filled with cash. And they were trying to meet expenses and recruit people with large salaries from elsewhere around the world to build this army and create this camp in the desert. We've talked to several people who were in the camp and saw it grow from really nothing. It's sand. It's actually part of a walled-off part of a Emirati military base. And there are mess halls. There are motor pools. There are barracks. They are planning sort of an amphitheater that could show you know, movies, that type of thing. There's big ambitions there. But for the people who are fighting, or the people who are part of the battalion, you know, it's a little bit of a prison-like environment. I mean, most of the people said they were certainly well treated. However, this is all a big secret in the UAE, and so they weren't really left off base except under very strict supervision. And so it's because, you know, one might wonder what a bunch of Colombian troops walking down the streets of Abu Dhabi might actually be doing.
Well, you read that they were snuck in through the airport as posing as construction workers. It is going to be hard to keep it a secret for long, isn't it? You unleash this force, and it's sort of, you know, what are those Latin Americans doing here?
Right. And I think that that there was only this could have only been kept a secret up to a point until they were actually launched on an operation, and then someone would have had to start talking, I think. But, you know, the bigger question is, you know, what are the implications of this foreign battalion made up of, you know, Latin Americans, largely Christian Latin American troops, South Africans, you know, putting down internal revolts in the UAE, possibly launching external operations around the Middle East. I mean, this is one of the world's most highly combustible regions, and the implications of this foreign force, I think, you know, maybe not have not entirely been thought out.
Well, and we should note, too, that Eric Prince isn't the only American making money from the UAE. By far, we've been doing a lot of stories on people who consult with foreign countries. And you say a company run by Richard Clark, the former counterterrorism advisor during the Clinton and Bush administrations, has several lucrative contracts to advise the UAE on how to protect its infrastructure. But that's consulting. This is boots-on-the-ground training. And you describe some of the people like Ricky Chambers, a former FBI agent who's being paid $300,000 to lead the team building this private army, or rather he was. And the truth is it doesn't seem to be going well, this idea of we'll just stand back and train them how to pick up and fire the guns.
Right. I mean, I think when you talk to Army veterans or military veterans, they will say, you know, if you want to create the Army Rangers, you got to do it. You can't do it in 8 months. It takes at least 8 years. And so training a force out of scratch is very difficult to do. And what happened was there was this recruitment done by a company called Thor Global Enterprises, which is a subcontractor, which did the recruiting in Colombia and Ecuador and other countries. And they were recruiting police officers and soldiers who had experience in some of the troubles of those countries. But what some of the trainers found was that their military skills were subpar, and that when they came in, they were not really ready for prime time, and they took a lot more training than was expected. So it is our understanding that they've even dialed back the goal of having 800 troops for this battalion is now in the 500s. It may even be less than that now.
Well, it also raises the question, as you do, that you have these Americans who've served in Iraq and Afghanistan thinking, well, this is not a problem. I will be here training these people, but slowly they're realizing, well, wait a minute, I may have to be the one who fires the gun. I may have to be the one doing the fighting because they can. It sounds like it's a slipperier slope than people might have thought.
Yeah, and that's why you've seen a certain amount of attrition from the company. I think there's concern that there's apparently been a requirement by the Emirati government for people to actually get military visas as opposed to residence visas in the country, which means actually if you're an American former, you know, Army veteran, you're basically pledging to fight for the Emirati military, mm-hmm. and in essence maybe renouncing your American citizenship, and people are concerned about that, and some are dropping out because of that. So it is, all the implications of this for those who are participating in what looked like a good paycheck, it could be a lot more than that.
Well, and just, we got about a minute, Mark. Though, do you think this is the reality that we're living in? The U.S., as we said at the start, replacing troops in Iraq with private contractors, Muammar Gaddafi using mercenaries in Libya. Is this the way forward?
It certainly could be. I mean, if you look at a place like the UAE that has more money than manpower, they see this as a logical thing. You buy an army. I mean, the country sort of outsources absolutely everything. So why not outsource defense to a large degree? They do have an army, but there's concern that it's not strong enough. So, I think that, as we said, this is a sort of new chapter in the boom in defense contracting since the September 11th attacks. And, there's no reason to see why it wouldn't continue.
Well, maybe the questions you keep raising. Mark Mazzetti of The New York Times, thanks so much.
Thanks very much.